Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I'm still Brad Brown, coming to you from the Mother City in Cape Town, South Africa. It's awesome to have you with us, and awesome to share our next guest's story with you today. And it is a pretty cool one. I'm pretty excited to share it with you. A guy by the name of Bob McRae joins me on today's podcast, and we chat a little bit about how he got into the sport and some of the things he's been able to achieve, some of the things he's learnt along the way, and hopefully you can get some motivation and a fair dose of inspiration on today's podcast as well. Just a quick heads up, if you haven't considered becoming a patron of the Kona Edge, I would appreciate it massively. What it does is it just helps us keep things going here at the podcast. And we've gone through a bit of a rough patch recently with regards to work and the way things are going at the podcast. And if you wouldn't mind helping us out and buying us pretty much a cup of coffee once a month, it would be more than appreciated. And just to let you know, we are in talks with a few more sponsors to hopefully bring in some revenue here on the Kona Edge. And we have, of late, in the last 2 months, taken on some sponsors. And I've unfortunately received some pushback from people just like you who listen to this podcast who don't enjoy the advertising. So what I'm doing is giving you the opportunity to listen to the Kona Edge ad-free. And that's if you become a patron. So if you head over to thekonaedge.com/patron, that's P-A-T-R-O-N, you get the opportunity to download this podcast without any ads. So go check it out. That's thekonaedge.com/patron. I'd really appreciate it. And it helps keep things going. If you enjoy the podcast, why not swing me a cup of coffee once a month? There you go. Coming up on the other side of our Coach's Corner today, we'll touch base with Bob McRae. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Coach Parry Triathlon Coaching. With a passion for high-performance sport, Lindsay Parry is one of South Africa's most widely recognized and respected coaches. Having led a team to the London and Rio Olympic Games, Lindsay has coached both triathletes and runners onto podiums of some of the world's most illustrious races. Lindsay has the unique ability to understand what it takes to succeed at any level and thrives on coaching, motivating and inspiring others to do the same. To find out more about working with Coach Parry, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and you'd like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. We head to Denver in Colorado right now, and it's a great pleasure to welcome onto the Kona Edge, Bob McRae. Bob, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Bob, we've over the last few weeks, we've had a few people from Colorado here on the podcast, and there's a thriving triathlon community in that neck of the woods. It's a great place to live and train.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. We moved here about 5 years ago, and I appreciate being able to just run out my front door and run along the open space trails. It's great.
Yeah, and for you, I mean, you're not originally from there, so you really appreciate it. I think guys and girls who grew up and live in areas like that really take it for granted, but you know what it's like not having that luxury.
Yeah. We moved out here about 5 years ago from California, which, obviously the weather's different there. So we were blessed in that respect. But it's been nice. It's nice, just like I said, to be able to just leave the door and go out training without having to ride for an hour to get out into some open roads, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as your foray into triathlon, where did it all start for you?
Well, actually, my wife came home one afternoon and evening and said one of her coworkers wanted to do a triathlon. And, this is at the time where I think I was doing a little bit of mild running. And I said, okay, sounds good. So we signed up, and it was that was the Pacific Grove Olympic distance. And it was about 6 months away. Neither one of us were triathletes by any means. And we actually weren't even swimmers at that point. So that's when I started preparing and really just started training for swimming, which was an eye opener, of course. So that's where it started, was 2004 timeframe.
Right. So, gee, it's been a while. You've been around the sport for a while now, and obviously, were you hooked after that first one, or did you need some more convincing?
Oh no, no, it was a blast. I was hooked, and in fact, I signed up for a race just about a month later. Right after that, hadn't really considered doing anything after, but I was so excited about how it went and how much fun it was. I had to do it again, and then that was toward the end of the season, so I had to wait for another, you know, 3-4 months before getting started again. I guess it was more like 5 or 6 into the next season.
What was it that made that experience so enjoyable for you, Bob?
Well, I think it was for a lot of the same for a lot of folks. It was just that great deal of uncertainty and anxiety and huge amount of preparation, you know, for, you know, something that occurs in a relatively short period of time. You know, the performance was pretty good, but it was just all came together nicely. And I was reasonably competitive. I don't mean like podium or anything like that, but certainly better than I had expected. It was just nice to be able to accomplish something after, you know, preparing for it for so long, something so different.
And from a sporty background, you mentioned that before you signed up for that first one, you had done a bit of running. Have you always been active growing up? Were you a pretty active kid?
I was active at getting in trouble. No. You know, early in my grade school, I was probably, you know, I had some talent in running, and oddly enough, relatively shorter distances. But, you know, as I got into high school, I got distracted with other things. I wasn't active at all. It wasn't until actually I got out of college, but there was the Navy in between. So I was, you know, probably in my late 20s before I actually started to get back into any sort of, or get into any sports. And even then, you know, I thought 40 miles a week running was extreme. And, you know, I ran my first marathon. I was going to run it with my brother-in-law. His goal was a 4-hour marathon. And so I ended up doing that with him. I don't know, I was probably right around 30 years old or so. At that time I was about 180 pounds, which, you know, for a 6-foot-1 guy is not that heavy, but for me, that's pretty heavy.
Tell me about the trouble. Was it good trouble, bad trouble?
I don't think I don't want to talk about it too much, but no, it was bad trouble. I was a troubled kid. I'm surprised I'm still here.
Let's talk about the sort of taking triathlon serious. I mean, that first one, you do the training, you take up swimming. When did you decide, you know what, I'm actually pretty good at this thing. I want to give it a good go.
I think it was probably it was the next year or maybe the year after where I did my first half, and I realized that as the lengths got longer, I got more competitive. And I could see that in my training as well. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun. So, you know, I kept lengthening the distances. And I think it was the third year I did an Ironman. And I look back at that, at how naive I was at the time. And I'm, you know, I come from very modest genes. You know, both my parents were sedentary. And, you know, between my sister and my parents, you know, they're not athletic by any means, and you know, they try to be active, but, you know, I when I came at it, it was, you know, coming from the, you know, probably a middle pack sort of capability or athletic capability. And, you know, my first Ironman, I had the lofty goal of going sub 10 and actually got very close, and it was 10:07. And so, you know, I think it was those first 3 years or so after just really focusing on the training and really putting in a lot of time and having a very good first Ironman, I was hooked from the first one, but it just kept getting more and more intense, and my commitment to it continued to grow.
Your build up into that first one, by regarding a lot of the athletes that I chat to you on the Cone Edge, is is a pretty good progression. A lot of triathletes sort of get into the sport, and within their first season, they're doing their first Ironman. Do you think it was a wise decision to build up over those 3 years and have that base to launch off or off of, so to speak?
Oh, for sure. I look at this as a lifelong lifestyle, and to be able, to jump in and go to an Ironman right away, in some respects, makes it a little bit easier, but that's a lot of stress on the body, a lot of uncertainty. If it's sort of a one and done thing, I think it's probably fine. But, if it's going to be something I'm going to do for a while, that's something I think we'll talk about. Then I think, you got to just take it easy and build into it. And I think that's probably what explains some of my recent, I'll call it success, in the sport, is I built that base and worked on it for get away with a lot less these days.
Yeah, and it's interesting because one of the things that pops up time and time again is the consistency and consistency over time more than anything. And by the sounds of it, you are the poster boy for that story.
Well, to some degree. We may talk about the health as being probably one of the most important things. I've actually struggled with health over the last 5 years. And that's without health, it's hard to be consistent. With health, it's easy. And as long as you're driven. I think that, I try to do what I can each day, every day. And some days it's enough, it's good. And some days, it's a struggle just to get through an easy 2 mile run. But just, I think the constant effort and desire to improve is really most critical.
Let's talk about those health issues of late. I say of late, you mentioned the last few years. What have been some of your big sort of health challenges that you have to overcome and are still overcoming?
Yeah, well, it's been a long history, actually. It was right after my daughter was born in 2010. So it actually goes back 7 years ago. I was starting, I actually went from just in about a 3 month period, got myself from, completely detrained to Ironman level. Prepping for half Ironman, the beginning part of that next season, which actually was 2011. And I think my first race was Wildflower. And I could tell that just the day before that something was just really off. And, my allergies were really bad. I couldn't sleep. I got onto the bike and it was the first race I'd ever been in where I didn't want to race. I just wanted to hop off the bike and be done with it that day. But, I struggled through and it was, probably one of my worst performances. And, from that very specific day, I started experiencing more and more symptoms. And, I've got asthma. So my asthma was really bad. My allergies were really bad. I had this, this skin, it was almost like a rash. I think it's called tinea versicolor. I just achy joints and all kinds of stuff. And I started checking it out after it didn't go away after several weeks. And my primary care physician actually brought up the concept of it being Lyme disease. I had no idea what Lyme disease was. So I just, heard him and went on to, when it ended up being another 5 or 6 or 7 physicians of different specialties, and it took me probably a year and a half to finally get to a real Lyme doctor, and I was actually diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I'm not sure how much you want to get into the background of what that is and what that entails, but it's a pretty serious deal. It got me to the point where I was a Kona qualifier prior to that. I had difficulty playing with my daughter in the playground. It just totally disabled me.
That's crazy. For some folks who don't know, tell us a bit more about Lyme disease. What is it? And go into some of the sort of daily battles that you've had with it.
Well, it's a disease that's passed on from typically, I think the only documented cases are from tick bites, but only about a third of the people that actually get this tick bite even know that they have it. I don't remember actually ever getting a tick bite, but it's so that these ticks carry this disease and they pass it on to humans, and it causes a host of issues that basically any sort of weakness that you had going into it is totally exploited. In my case, allergies, asthma, stomach issues. I had probably all kinds of parasites at the time, which I can talk about in recent history as well, that end up having just, you think about it like a parasite having, it's in your gut, and you would think that you would just have sort of gut issues. But as I've learned recently, it can affect everything. I mean, brain fog, depression, joint issues, fatigue, you name it. I mean, I'm dealing with one right now, unfortunately, that, my max heart rate is probably down by 20 beats per minute, which means basically all my paces are off and my training sucks. So, I mean, that's a big part of what people with Lyme disease have to deal with. Not to mention the fact that most medical specialties don't even recognize the fact that it exists, or that they don't treat it as a legitimate disease. And therefore, a lot of people go untreated for a long time and have lasting effects. Many people, in fact, have neurological impacts, problems seeing very well, problems thinking very well. It's pretty scary.
Does it sounds like it? And as far as prognosis goes, Bob, is it something you can? You say you talk about the struggles at the moment. Is it something you can keep under control, or does it keep popping up and almost manifesting itself in different areas?
I'd like to say that you can knock it completely, but I'm not entirely sure. I think that it depends on when you get it and how bad it was and how good the treatment was. I think that, in my case, after actually getting diagnosed properly and getting some pretty significant, I think I probably spent 6 months on antibiotics. I was able to eradicate the majority of the disease and, regain my life, which was right around the time we moved out here to Colorado. But I do believe that probably set off some problems that I've been dealing with over the last 5 years. Including the fact that I probably destroyed all my gut flora, and as a result, probably been just having a weakened overall immune system. So, in some respects, it's been dealt with and can be dealt with, but I think that even in my case, it wasn't fully dealt with because I didn't rebuild that gut flora very well. That's my working.
Yeah, it's interesting because you talk about like an immune system that's taking a beating. I mean, when you're training for an Ironman and training hard, your body does take a beating, and to throw this on top of it, tell me about, from a training perspective, how have you managed to bounce back from this? What are some of the things you've done? Is it a case of just taking it day by day, and you know what, if it means that you might never race an Ironman hard again, so be it, but you almost need to start from scratch? How have you approached it?
Well, like I said earlier, I do what I can each day, every day. And some days that's not a lot. And I remember when I was affected, I think I was just trying to figure out what to do. Some medical professionals would say that exercise is not good. Some would say it was good. Well, I needed it to help keep me sane and feel like I was normal again. Never really athletically important, but I had been to Kona and in a lot of ways, I say that, triathlon or Ironman saved my life, because if I hadn't had that prior experience, I wouldn't have had the drive to, come back. But, basically I remember there was a month period where I said, I'm going to run every day, and all I can do right now is run 2 miles. And so that's what I did. And it was slow and it was hard, but I did it. And, that's, I think, the same for anybody, anything that they're dealing with. If they just focus on doing what you can each day and trying to improve over time, that was the key. And finally, your body will only let you do so much, and we all probably want to do a lot more. But the key, I think, is just listening to your body and being smart about how much to push and when to push and when to relax and just go with the flow.
In this whole journey, is there anything that you would have changed or done differently to sort of speed up your recovery, so to speak?
Well, it's hard to say that because I feel like I've learned a good amount, but you know, I didn't know any better at the time, but I would say that, you know, it would have been great if I would have been able to find a Lyme literate doctor sooner so that I could have actually not spent 18 months trying to figure out what the heck was going wrong with me and, you know, actually spend, you know, the time recovering more quickly. But then right after that, all the antibiotics, spent a lot of time working on improving my immune system and my gut, first with my gut.
Bob, as far as your triathlon career over the years you've been involved in the sport, what are you most proud of?
Well, I think it's probably coming back from getting knocked on my butt with Lyme disease. A lot of people, I think, you know, they wouldn't have been able to come back. They wouldn't have continued to try and be demoralized day after day. But, you know, persevering and just keeping at it. You know, as I started getting better and we moved here, I think it was, you know, it was 2012 timeframe. So it was 2013. I had my first Ironman back and I saw, you know, I had basically a great race up until mile 9 of the run, which is very early in the run, but it showed me I could do it again. And, you know, it was that, I think it was, you know, I don't know if it was at what point, I know what specific thing, but just the overall coming back for me was the most important. Getting back to Kona in 2014 was probably the most important thing overall. If there was like one event.
Coming through this and battling this, has it changed your perspective on life in general?
Yeah, I think so. It's given me a much greater appreciation for what I'm able to do. Just being able to walk, to run, to ride, try to swim, you know, just to be active and to be able to actually have full mobility and just the freedom to be able to do that. I've come to really appreciate it.
How mentally tough has this challenge made you?
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, like I talked about being demoralized. I mean, it's, you know, I'm doing that to myself, of course, because I'm comparing what I'm doing today or now to, you know, my best or, you know, yesterday, which is, you know, it's irrelevant. I think it's just been a matter of learning to persevere and just be, you know, to come just to get, try to, you know, the battle, get back to where, you know, where you want to be or to be better than you were yesterday or to be the best you can be today, which is probably the ultimate way to look at it.
Absolutely. Bob, looking at Kona and qualifying for Kona, I get asked this question often, and I've of late been asking the age groups that I chat to, what's the secret in your mind to qualifying to race on the Big Island?
I think there are two things. Number one, you gotta want it fanatically. And I think that's probably the easiest thing for a lot of folks. And number two is to be patient. It's time and sport. It's not something that, unless you're really, really extraordinarily capable, it's something that, you know, it should plan on taking, you know, 5 years. If it comes in 1 year or 3 years, that's great, but it will take time.
What does wanting it fanatically mean to Bob McRae? Tell me about sort of how badly you wanted it.
Well, I mean, it's basically where I'm at today. My season's been derailed, unfortunately, but this has been the season that was going to be my best ever. You know, I've been going for some lofty goals this year, greater than even last year. And, you know, I've been told by some, you know, at least one trusted person that I should probably throw in the towel at least for now, and take a step back and do something different, work on my bucket list. And, you know, I've taken that to heart. And that was probably 3 weeks ago that this person had told that to me. And I'm really struggling to train right now, unfortunately, but I keep thinking about it. But when I think about my bucket list, it really comes back to being great in sport right now. I mean, you know, Western States or Leadville 100 or something, and that's kind of defeats the purpose of what this person was suggesting. I keep coming back to, I can still turn this around, and if it's not now, it'll be later. It's almost instinctual. It's a drive that just won't let me give up.
I was going to ask if you've considered throwing in the towel, and I'm sure there have been times where it's really tough and you go, you know what, I'm done. But it just, what is it about sport and triathlon that makes you want to be better? And as much as racing on the Big Island's cool and you get to race against the best in the world, at the end of the day, each of us, we're essentially just racing ourselves. What do you think that is about? Is it hardwired in all of us, or is that a special gift that some of us have and others don't?
I think it's more the latter. Some people are, you know, the quote type A's, and some are not. And I think that, you know, some of the people that are driven to this sport, especially, you know, the top end of the age group ranks, you know, obviously the pros, they have to be the best that they can be. I mean, that's, and for those people, I think it is hardwired. It's the frontier. You know, and then for me, it's like the only chance I have at any sort of, you know, and it's a way to achieve something incredible.
As far as the balance and keeping family life and work and training and everything going, what is your secret to keeping the balance right? Because it's not, you're not training for an Olympic distance triathlon when you're racing on the Big Island. It's there's a lot that goes into it, and at some stage something's got to give. How do you get that balance right?
Well, I think that for me, adding triathlon to my life was actually a great balance, because otherwise I would have spent all my time working. And you know, I do have a young family, and I would probably end up spending more time with them if I wasn't doing this. But you know, I think that these days the trick or the secret or whatever is probably, for the most part, a few things. One, periodicity, and two, the base that I established over the years, years ago. So as we talked about earlier, easing into the sport, increasing the distance over a period of years, establishing a really good aerobic base, which will stay with you for a very, very long time. And then these days, you know, the periodicity, for the most part, I keep my training very, very short, relatively short, and not do an extraordinary amount of training, certainly not like consistent 20-hour weeks or more. I'd say, you know, like last season was probably my best season, well, it certainly was, in my career. And I probably spent 12 hours a week training on average. And as I got close to Boulder and Kona, I probably got that up to maybe, I don't even know if I got to 20 in a given week. But, you know, just it was just maybe like an 8-week period prepping for Boulder, where it probably got closer to 20. But for the most part, most of the year was closer to 12 short, hard sessions consistently, you know, a lot of doubles, sometimes triples. And, you know, I think that was probably the key.
Still left to achieve in the sports, looking ahead. I mean, what do you still want to achieve in this water triathlon and Ironman, Bob?
Sub 9.
Why would that be important to you?
Because it seems unfathomable. I mean, difficult. I mean, impossible. At least I would have considered it a few years ago, but I believe I can do it. And if I can turn things around, I could do it this October.
If you could go back and chat to yourself ahead of that first Olympic distance triathlon, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
if I could tell myself during that first triathlon,
yep,
have fun. That's probably it.
It's so that is. I mean, you laugh about it, but that is so important. I mean, we get into the sport because for various reasons, whether it's to stay healthy or we're competitive. But so often you see it, triathletes. You almost. And you can hear them speaking and they're almost hating what they're doing. Having fun is a prereq. It should go without saying, but so many triathletes aren't having fun.
I know. And yeah, I mean, the drive, especially, I think volume is a big part of that, probably the biggest part of it. And I can't even tell you how many rides I've gotten out or runs. I've just started out and it was the last thing I wanted to do. And when I ended, it was the last thing I wanted to do. But these days, if I feel like that, I'll just turn around, go home. And I know that it's favored me because I can come back and get far more quality out of it in the next time when I am ready.
And that should apply to anyone, not necessarily just in your case with Lyme disease and that sort of thing. It's anyone should be thinking that way.
Yeah. No, it's got to flow naturally. And if it's not fun, I can't remember who I heard say this, but if, you know, you go out for a run and you don't feel better by the time you get back, then you did it wrong.
Could not agree more. Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. I look forward to chatting about your swim, your bike, your run, and particularly around your nutrition, because I think that's an important part in what you're doing at the moment. But we'll save that for another time. Thanks for your time here on the Cone Edge.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed Bob's story. I loved chatting to him. And make sure you tune in next week, Thursday, for another chat with Bob about his swim here on the Kona Edge. I mentioned as well a couple of weeks ago, if you haven't left us a rating or review on the podcast, please do, because you stand in line to win yourself an entry into an Ironman. We'll pay for you to race any Ironman distance around the world. All you need to do is leave us a rating or review on iTunes. You can get all the details, by the way, on thekonaedge.com/win, and you can do exactly what Laurie Wise did. Laurie says, this is one of my favorite triathlon podcasts. I love hearing from top-notch athletes and getting tips on swimming, biking, running, and nutrition. Keeps me motivated in my triathlon journey. Great show. Thank you very much, Laurie. Much appreciated out in the United States. If you haven't left us a review yet, please consider doing so. It helps keep the lights on and puts us in front of more people just like you on platform iTunes, which is a great place where people discover more and more podcasts. So until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.